Welcome to the Circle of the Panda podcast. My guest on this episode is Joe Humphreys. This is an older episode that I did for a previous podcast that we're going to bring back up because it applies more today than it even did back then, and that is how healthy is your heart, because we have an issue of the heart. Now, Joe Humphreys has written a book, excellent book, and he also has been asked to do some sermons, some speeches, and he has been still in the business world, but he has been a very high-level executive. He's been asked to turn a company around, which he did, and fix it. So he is solid in his foundation because of that balance of perspective. So when he speaks to this, listen in, because this message is one that if we can soak it up and we can make changes based on what we hear, what are the possibilities?
And yes. The reason I asked Joe to be on the call on the podcast today is because he shared, Joe, I'll let you elaborate in a minute, but you shared either a sermon or some thoughts. I mean, it's one of those moments that I will never forget what you said. In fact, I quote you quite often, my friend, is you said something that was so profound about the heart. And that's what I want to talk our listeners to hear today. So, Joe, here's what I heard on, again, I don't know if it was from a speech. I think it was from a sermon or a speech that you gave somewhere. And it was about that we have an issue of the heart. I got to slow down and pause at this because just saying that kind of hit a nerve with me. It like stung just a bit because we do. And what we're looking at these days we're looking at the racial issues, and there's so much going on in the world today. And in the context of this, and this is something that you said, you may have given this a couple of years ago, but you said the real issue that we have is an issue of the heart. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Yes, yes. So I think it was in 2017 or 14, one of those years. I don't remember, JD, but the Lord laid a burden on my heart to speak about the issues that we was having. And I can remember saying that we don't have a racism issue. That's a symptom, but the root cause is a heart problem. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the greatest commandments when the Pharisees was trying to trick Jesus. And they was asking him, hey, what is the greatest commandments? And Jesus go on and tell him, hey, you know, love the Lord our God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. But it was verse 39 that we are challenged with. It was verse 39 when it said, love your neighbors as yourself. Hmm. And see, the reason why I say racism is a symptom and love is a root cause. Well, JD, you and I are a great example of that. You're a white man from a totally different background. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm a black man. But when we met, the love that we have for God, loving him first with all of our heart and all our mind and all of our soul, connected us to love each other as ourselves. And it only took us one meeting, JD, and it's given us this relationship for these many years. Mm-hmm. So again, we understand that racism exists, but we also know that it's a symptom. It's just like different parties, whether you're Republican or Democrat, that's a symptom. Mm-hmm. When you love your neighbor as yourself, you will still love them regardless of what political party that they're going to represent. Because ultimately, it's about love, JD.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it is. And we've gotten to so many labels these days. I mean, we're all looking for a label to fit into, and the labels are creating an issue to where we can't see beyond whatever someone's label is to get to the point of love, what it's really all about. Joe, I was looking at a speech from Martin Luther King Jr. the other day, and I watched it, and I can't remember the exact quote, but it's something about you can't fight hate with hate, you have to fight hate with love.
Absolutely.
But love, man, go ahead, Joe.
No, go, JD.
Man, like your message today of an issue of the heart and hearing that message from him, to me felt like somebody was putting ointment on an open wound. I was like, it's so refreshing these days just to hear somebody talk about, let's remove these and get to the issue of the heart. Let's fix that.
Well, Martin Luther King is one of my favorite people ever. And, you know, again, I was such a young boy when he was assassinated. And so I look at a lot of documentaries and I read his biography, but he said it best. You know, I can remember speech saying that his dream is one day for his little black girls and his little black boys to be holding hands with little white girls and white boys. And just the fact that he always talked about peace and love, and he didn't water down the real issues. You know, he called it out what it was, but he did it with a level of love and a level with sensitivity. And you know, JD, I often think about, you know, the part of that sermon that you referred to earlier was about calluses on our hearts. Mm-hmm. And I can remember as a young boy just working on different projects. In the projects, I found these hedge clippers and I went to go from door to door and I was trimming the bushes and not making a lot of money at all. But what I discovered after a few days that I developed calluses on my hands, JD. Mm-hmm. And they were so sensitive that if I forgot and put my hands in my pockets, they would bleed. And I think about that. And my point of telling this story is, it's okay to have calluses on our hands, but when we develop calluses on our hearts that don't hurt no more for our brothers and our sisters, regardless of what color they are, mm-hmm. regardless if they're Democrats or Republicans, regardless if they're living in the same zip code we live in, you know, when those calluses are developed on our hearts, then you will see in this world what you're seeing every day. And again, I'm going to go back to it. Racism, whatever party, political party you're part of, it's a symptom. God has the formula for this. And it's all throughout his book, but concisely, he talks about this, about the greatest commandments. That's yes. the prescription.
Yes.
You know, when we get sick and we go to the doctor and we say, write me a prescription of this to make.
So it's a prescription is what you're saying. The Bible yes. tells us what we need to do. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So let me ask you this too. On when you say the calluses of the heart, what do we do to remove them? How can we remove them?
Well, you know what, JD? What heals calluses on your hands is healing.
Yeah.
We have to heal. We have to heal. But, you know, how do you heal? You can't heal the it starts with forgiveness.
Mm, mm-hmm.
We have a country and a world. If we just look at our country, one of the greatest countries in the world, but yet one of the most unforgiving countries in the world. We have to start forgiving.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's how you remove those calluses off your heart. Now, that's hard, JD, but we have to remember the word said, love those that despitefully use you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always challenged when I hear that, because I'm like, Lord, you know, it's easy for me to love my buddy JD. But the challenge is I have to love those that have despitefully used me. Intentional, yeah. JD, that planned it, it's not by mistake that they have used me. That's how we start healing the calluses. We got to start loving.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you said something that Martin Luther King said about that was, he didn't hide the truth. He addressed the truth. You said it better than I just did. And what's happened with me is, like, I can't ignore the fact that it's there. I have to acknowledge that there are calluses, and there's calluses on mine that if I'm not careful will develop. So it's like we can't ignore these issues that are happening. We have to be aware of them and then figure out what we can do to help fix them.
And see, the problem, JD, we wait till we need a whole overhaul on our car before we take it in to get an oil change.
Mm-hmm.
We got to constantly check the pressure on those tires. You know, my wife came in the other day. I think she had been to the grocery store. And she said, hey, the light came on because I got low pressure in my tires. Where I knew right then it was a season change when it get colder. So what we have to do is we have to keep a check on that thermostat. Mm-hmm. And when we find ourselves becoming more cold, JD, instead of warm to our neighbors, that's when we have to manage those calluses. And so often we are programmed to ignore and we allow those calluses to be frozen. And once they are frozen, JD, there's no feeling in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when you look around, we have a world that have become frozen to your feelings, to their brothers and to their sisters. Mm-hmm. And that's the sad part. And to your point, again, we don't ignore the problem. Because when you ignore the elephant in the room, healing can't take place.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be broken at times before we become stronger.
Mm. Wow. You just led into about five other questions here. I can't wait to, when you say broken in what ways? So I think some people have not been broken before. You and I think have. Those that have, you kind of recognize it. Describe what it means to be broken in your personal experience.
Well, I'll say this first. If there are some people that haven't been broken, I just tell them keep living. They will. Okay. Because
yes.
It's a broken world. Okay.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, you know, the things that have broken me in life have made me the strongest. For example, you know, I was broken because I desired a whole relationship with my father.
Mm-hmm.
So that broke me. You know, I was broken with disappointment. But here's the key. When you're broken, when you try to fix it yourself, you never fix it the way it should be.
Mm. Wow.
So my thing is this. I'm not a mechanic, JD. And if you ask my wife, you know, I don't fix many things. But if my car is broken, I take it to the dealership. When we're broken, we try to take our brokenness to people that's not equipped to fix it. Mm-hmm. The first person that we need to take it to is our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
And He uses people to help us fix it. And reason why I say take it to our Heavenly Father first, JD, is because it's important. If you're going to go get counseling, if you're going to go get any type of help to help this brokenness, it's important that you go to someone that's equally yoke, a Christian, so you can't fix this thing aside of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Christ, all you're doing is putting Band-Aids on it. But even when you get a broken leg, JD, most athletes come back stronger with the leg that's been broken than the leg wasn't broken. You know why? Because they put the focus on the broken leg.
Yeah.
We have to put the focus on the broken hearts that we have.
You know, the reason I do this is so profound and where you're headed with this is when I've noticed when I've been in a broken place, and some of it is because I have put my faith somewhere where it shouldn't belong, an idol or in somebody else. And you almost get a little bit where you don't crave to be broken, but you realize that once you're broken and you have nowhere to turn, and then you go, okay, Lord, you're going to have to help me with, I don't know where else to go. You're going to have to help me. He will. And you just go like, wow, that is just the most amazing feeling that somebody could love you enough to say, I am right here. All you have to do is ask, which Joe, perception in the past has always been, you make a decision, you live your life, you go to heaven if you make that decision. But actually what happens is He is right there waiting at any moment for you to drink from that cup when you need Him. He's right there with you. Right?
Yes.
Am I missing that?
Oh, no, you're right on it. I mean, JD, even I love when He said, I no longer call you enemies and slaves. I call you friend.
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine this, that our Heavenly Father is going to call a guy like me His friend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, JD, that's just pretty hard for me to comprehend. Why in the world would the Almighty, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and ruler of rulers call a guy like Joe Humphreys his friend.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But yet, often, JD, as humans, we try to fix things on our power when we have the best friend in the world that have all power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's clear. He's not telling us that we're not going to have challenges and brokenness, but he's saying, hey, take up my yoke, because it's much easier if you take up mine than you trying to take up your own.
Yeah. So let's look at the signs of the calluses coming on. So I see what's going on around me, and I see the, you know, riots and those things. So what do you go, uh-oh, JD, when somebody has a calluses coming on, here are the signs where they may see. Sometimes I may not see them coming on, but before you know it, they're there. What do you see as the signs of, watch out, JD, the calluses are starting to form on your heart? What are those, Joe?
You know, JD, for me, when I start talking to myself, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but if I'm riding down the road and I'm listening to something, I may go, man, that's just the most ridiculous thing I ever heard, and these guys are crazy. When you start trying to categorize people and say, them guys, mm-hmm. those guys, those the calluses that start growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you start talking about all these riots and looting and all these other things. Now, again, I have to bring up Martin Luther King. He was all about peaceful, you know, demonstration uh-huh. and raising his hand. But here's the thing, JD, is that when those warning signs come on, we'll go back to the automobile again. You have that dashboard. And when it says, you know, check the engine light, well, we have something that's called conscious check the heart light.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have to check the heart. And if you ignore that check and ignore those warning signs, JD, that car is going to end up broken down.
Yeah.
And it's going to cost you more than it would have if you'd have took it in. Well, again, with our warning signs, when we refuse to ignore these warning signs, JD, everything around us start breaking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, I think that the church, some churches, not all churches, but a lot of churches have done a really poor job in this season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that our voices have been too quiet and they've been too low. And I think that we need to be taking a stance and doing it in love.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I've discovered, JD. People's going to follow somebody. So if the church is not leading, they're going to follow some other organization. So I don't want to beat up the church. I want to encourage the church. We have to start leading. And for those churches that have been leading, hey, God bless you. Keep leading. But over the last 12 months, there's been a silence when it comes from some of our most powerful spiritual leaders that have a platform to speak up.
Yeah. Yeah, so what should they be saying? If somebody's in a leadership position right now at a church or a church-related thing, what should they be saying right now to help fix this problem?
I think that they should be really driving home, we have a heart issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But unfortunately, what I see, JD, and again, I want to qualify this, it's not all churches. I see some of the churches falling into the trap of racism. Yes, racism exists.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably going to get a few emails from this podcast telling me that I'm crazy, that I don't think. I want to be clear again. I think racism is real. I think it exists. I'm not ignoring it, but it's a symptom. The root cause is a heart trouble. Our hearts are not where it needs to be. And you know what? I think in America in particular, we have been so blessed and God has been so good to us that we have really, I think, started taking God for granted.
Yeah.
There's a reason why he has blessed this country for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Christians used to call out sin and call it what it is. You know, this is what I've always been taught. Love the person, but hate the sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what we have started doing? not only we loving the person, but we loving the sin.
Yeah.
Because we're making all kind of accommodations for the sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, we all have sinned and come short, and there's only been one perfect person that walked here on this earth. But here's the deal, JD. There's no accountability. Mm-hmm. And when you don't have accountability, you don't have that measurement that flashes up on the dashboard and say, hey, your engine light's on, your hot trouble. JD, you one of my accountability partners. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been times you've had to tell me some tough things. Mm-hmm. And I've told you some tough things.
Yes.
But yeah. Again, without accountability, JD, things get out of control. And then that's where that heart becomes frozen, where it can't feel anything, and it becomes numb. Early on, I talked about the hands bleeding. Well, early on, when you get calluses, you know that they're there. Uh-huh. But here's the secret, JD. A few days after I had the calluses, they didn't hurt anymore. Mm-hmm. But the calluses were still there. Mm-hmm. And this is where we at in America. The calluses are still on our hearts, but they don't hurt anymore. We got to get back to where the calluses is a sensor to let us know, hey, we're not loving our brothers and our sisters as we have been instructed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is exactly right. And I'm probably going to get some emails and comments as well. We do have an issue. We definitely have an issue. And yeah. Joe, what happened during this time is, one, when you started saying that to me, I went, I've got to make sure I don't have those calluses. I have. And I do. And they're easy to get on. They're easy to start forming.
Yes.
But during this time, when I realize that we have an issue is where when I've seen what's going on in the news and I've slowed down enough to ask somebody that looks different than I do and said, please, how do you see this? And when I've asked that question, what's happening here? What's your view of it? From somebody that has a different background than I do, they have taught me things that made me aware of, oh yes, it is there in some obvious ways, and it's there in some subtle ways, isn't it? Some subtle ways that we don't see. How often we're approached differently because of our skin color.
Yeah.
How people communicate with us differently because of our skin color. Yes, sir. And the only way I know around it, Joe, and I'm asking, making a statement and asking a bit of advice, is to go to a friend like yourself and say, Joe, tell me what I might be missing that I should be seeing. Is that the start, Joe?
Oh, yeah. And see, JD, here's the thing. As a man of color, it's interesting if I'm leaving, say, a grocery store, and if I'm walking behind a white lady, I can see the concern and the fear, and I'm well used to walking by a car and hearing the doors locked.
Mm-hmm.
That don't mean I should hate you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just because you might not have experienced it as much as I have.
Yeah.
I shouldn't hate you for that, JD. And you know what? I look at the person, I'm going, wow, you know, and I keep going. I'm not mad at them. But then what I've discovered is, again, racism exists. And here's the thing. It exists on both sides of the aisle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We often say, well, racism is just, you know, that example I just gave. But there's racism from people of color to people of other races as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that what God has been able to do for me, JD, is I kind of laugh at that lady that locked the door to myself instead of get angry or mad. I think that God have allowed me to manage some of these issues. Now, don't get me wrong. There are certain things that still get up in me and raise my blood. And I go, man, Lord, I need your help here because this thing is just ridiculous. But again, you know, I think about all of my good friends like yourself, JD, that love me for who I am, regardless if I'm a different race. Mm-hmm. And that's validation to me to let me know that, hey, you know what? Here's what my mom always told me. There's good people and bad people in every race.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I find that to be true.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the great thing and the good news. we just need to learn to love our neighbors as ourselves.
Yeah.
And you know, JD, I have to tell you this. So I was getting an executive physical one time down at Duke Executive University and at the hospital, and they did an echo test on my heart. And I'm not one of these guys that like to go to the doctor anyway. And so I noticed that the doctor was like, hey, we're going to carry him over to the main hospital and get this checked out. And I'm like, what's going on? And I was really concerned to the point where, JD, they had to calm me down to get my blood pressure down to the point where they could do the echo test. But the fear came because I was wondering what the technician was going to see in my heart. He told me he was going to start taking all kind of pictures. And I was just visualizing, what is he going to see in my heart? And the good news that I was fine and there was nothing there. And they signed me up with flashing colors, good exam. But when I was going home, I started thinking about, what if I was that concerned with what God sees in my heart? And I often think about that. I was to the point, JD, where I was so terrified of what the technician was going to see that it was just one of the most fearful moments in my life. And again, if we take that same approach and we say, Lord, what are you seeing in my heart that needs to be clean? Where's the calluses at, God, that you need to remove? That's what's going to make this a better country, JD.
Yeah.
It starts with the individual.
The lights just went off with me again. And you're laying more stuff I'm going to think about for years on here. So it really starts with everybody saying, correct me, everybody saying, Lord, look at my heart. Tell me where I may be off. Tell me where I'm having calluses. Make those calluses show up for me so I can begin to remove them.
Yes.
And he'll help remove them. Is that right, Joe?
That's it. And you know what, JD, you started off with the title of that sermon was How Healthy Is My Heart. And that's something that we have to remind ourselves daily. Lord, how healthy is my heart? And you mentioned what, JD, how do you get the calories out? Well, the doctor tell you, if you want a healthy heart, you got to eat vegetables and fruits and exercise and get good sleep. Well, JD, if I want a healthy heart spiritually, I got to practice love, man. And you know what? I got to incorporate forgiveness. Not only for myself. You know, the Bible is clear. We should be asking God for forgiveness daily. But I got to be able to forgive those that have hurt me. And this is where we're at. God said, how can you say that you love me, who you've never seen, JD, but you hate your neighbor who you see daily? And if I can't forgive you, and God sent his precious son from a perfect heaven to live for imperfect people like me, JD, well, then he's not going to forgive me. I have to be able to forgive, because God knows I have to ask him daily for forgiveness. So the formula, JD, I think is you have to keep a watch on that heart. You got to constantly practice love, and you got to be willing to forgive.
Yeah, Joe, I really can't add. It's like you dropped the mic on me. It's just a wonderful way to land this plane. I want to ask one more time in summary, okay? I want to make sure that I get this, because this is, again, one of those moments where I won't forget it. And I hope the people out there listening hear the same thing that I am. So those of us that are looking around and going, something has to be done here, whether it's a race issue or political parties or what has to be done here. And I was going to ask you this question earlier, but I think you just answered it so clearly for me. What needs to be done first is I need to be praying. Show me my heart where it may be lacking, and then give me opportunities to make a difference today in what's happening, and he'll present those. So really it just comes down to that, doesn't it, Joe?
It does. And you know, JD, I like to tell you this too. There's a story that I heard about. It was this little 8-year-old girl named Liz, that she had a rare blood disease. And they was searching for a match so that she can have a blood transfusion. Mm-hmm. And they looked everywhere. And finally, the parent said, here's my five-year-old son, Liz's brother. See if he's a match. Mm-hmm. Well, he was a perfect match. And so Liz was so sick, JD, that the doctor started this procedure immediately. And as this little five-year-old boy laid in a bed beside his sister, there was a moment that captured everybody's attention. Mm-hmm. All he knew was the doctor said, son, for your sister to live, you need to give her some blood. Mm-hmm. And he thought about this and he said, if that's going to let her live, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. But later on in this process, JD, the little boy looked at the doctor as Liz's paleness began, the color in her skin began to come back, and her smile began to come back. But what they noticed was the little boy's smile began to fade. And the doctor asked him, thinking there could be something wrong with him physically, are you okay, son? And he said, yes. And he asked the doctor, he said, how long would it be before I die? You see, I tell you that story because when you love somebody, JD, you don't even know the whole policies and the procedures and the things about them, but this little boy was willing to give. He thought that he had to give his sister all of his blood, mm-hmm, for her to live.
Oh, what a wonderful story. It's wonderful.
But all he had to do, JD, was give his sister some of his blood.
Yeah.
And I say this to my brothers and sisters, we don't have to give all of our hearts away for this world to turn around.
Yeah.
All we have to do is be willing to give some of it to our brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And that's how we fix this thing, JD.
Is it appropriate for me to say amen, Joe?
It's appropriate for me to say amen too, brother.
And that concludes another episode of the Circle of the Panda podcast. To find out more about Joe Humphreys, you can find him at his website, jdh3c.com. I wish you all the best and peace to you.